Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear radio program. I am your host, Susan Laris and Danz, broadcasting live from the beautiful Pacific Northwest, where we are seeing a change of seasons to the fall. And to be honest, as I reflect upon the change of seasons, I think about the seasons of our lives and the different things that we go through on our journeys that lead to new things. Just as we're heading into winter here, which is quite a rainy time, there is also a beauty to this time of year. And it also helps us to appreciate the springtime as well when it finally arrives. I welcome all of you to the show today. This is a very special broadcast that I've actually been anticipating for quite some time. I am welcoming on the show today for the first time, Catherine G. Lucas. Catherine is a very courageous woman who wrote about her own experience with a dramatic spiritual emergence. The show today is going to be about what do we do in the midst of very powerful spiritual energies, which more and more of us are experiencing, and I personally have walked this walk. What do we do when we lose our grounding? When those mystical experiences become so very powerful that we find ourselves spiraling in an entirely new domain beyond our comprehension and losing touch? What do we do to ground ourselves? What do we do when we're going through a dark night of the soul? And what do we do when we're going through the elation of feeling that oneness with the love of God, Spirit, the universe, however you choose to label it, through many spiritual traditions? Men and women have encountered this through the ages. And today we feel that it's even more prevalent given the awakening going on this planet. Catherine's book, In Case of Spiritual Emergency, Moving Successfully Through Your Awakening, provides not only examples of very dramatic and indeed traumatic experiences of people who have gone through spiritual emergencies, that become spiritual emergencies, and we will talk about the distinction and the parallels between those two terms. Catherine is also the founder of the UK Spiritual Crisis Network, and she is an accredited mindfulness coach. And as such, she has worked within the traditional mental health community as well, partnering with people to identify the unique spiritual components when someone is losing their grounding in the midst of a spiritual event. Catherine's website is CatherineGLucas.com, and there is a link to that on the show page today, and I welcome you to visit that site. I will warn you, just due to the way Blog Talk Radio works, if you click on it, it will take you off the show. So either open it with your right-clicking and in a new window, or wait until the show is complete. But there is that link there that will be there for you to check into the resources that Catherine talks about to assist either you or perhaps a family member, friend, a loved one that you sense is going through this kind of dramatic spiritual event. Now, today we are welcoming callers to the show. The call-in number, should you have a question for Catherine, is 310-807-5. 5104. If you are calling internationally, and I probably should have had this ready, but I'm sure many of you who live overseas and have called the U.S. know the U.S. code, and so you'll have to prefix the number with that code. But we are also taking international callers today. And this show today, many of you are probably listening to the podcast in the archive, and I do encourage you very much to share this with anyone that you feel that it could assist, anyone you feel that is going through a dramatic spiritual event or is coming out of one and looking for tools to reconcile themselves to what occurred and to mindfully proceed with their lives. And the wonderful thing about these dramatic spiritual emergences that many have had is that they tend to go on to lead to an awakened life, should you progress through it successfully, to a life that is filled with purpose. And in that sense, I feel that Catherine and I share a great deal of hope. So without further delay, after a rather lengthy introduction, I'm going to bring Catherine on the show. And let me go and do that. Welcome, Catherine. It's so nice to have you here today.
Thank you, Susan. I've been very much looking forward to this conversation. And probably listeners may have guessed by now that I'm in England. I'm in the southwest, just to put that in context. And it's just gone 7 p.m. It's 7 o'clock in the evening here.
Yeah, this is very well timed, it seems, for multiple audiences today. And one thing I failed to mention is we do have a chat room open today, too. If people want to enter comments or questions, you have to get a Blog Talk Radio login really quick to do that. But if someone would like to ask a question through the chat or just follow the chat today, you are most welcome. And you can see the chat through the show page. It's readily visible there. So anyway, Catherine, I wanted to mention that, you know, we met at a conference several months ago, and I have to tell you that based on my own dramatic experiences many years ago, when I first heard about your book, I had a tremendous sense of relief, to be honest, that somebody was addressing this, because it really is a vital topic. And, you know, I think perhaps the first thing for you to clarify here is to tell us, what is a spiritual emergency, and how does that relate to spiritual emergence? Could you clarify that for everyone?
Sure. So, and in fact, you know, you mentioned a sense of relief. You know, when I first came across this work, it was a huge relief to me as well and to many others, because the term spiritual emergency was actually coined originally back in the 80s by a psychiatrist named Grof, Stanislav Grof. That's G-R-O-F. And it's a little bit of a play on words, because what Grof found in his research was that, you know, for many people, the process of spiritual development, of spiritual awakening, is a gradual process. So there's that spiritual emergence. But sometimes that can tip over into crisis, into emergency. And, you know, we can talk about the reasons why sometimes the process speeds up so much and becomes intense. But it certainly, that's, if you like, that's the defining feature of spiritual emergency, is the intensity of it. Because many people go through difficult times and, you know, many people have challenges along the way. But if we get to the point where actually we can no longer cope at an everyday level, that we just can't look after ourselves, then that's where we've tipped over into the full-blown spiritual emergency. And it can really impact on us on so many different levels, you know, physically, emotionally, you know, mentally, spiritually. And, you know, maybe I'll just give a couple of brief examples of the kind of features, just to give people a little bit of a sense. And you'll see, actually, you know, as I'm describing some of these, that they can look like mental health issues. This is where the mainstream mental health can really misinterpret these experiences, really. So emotionally, there can be very high levels of anxiety and fear, because we're moving into, if you like, we're moving into a whole new realm where the ego is kind of being challenged and kind of falling away. You know, this is the ultimate aim of spiritual, our spiritual journeys, really. But the ego can feel very threatened by that. And so this is where the fear comes in, because we're so identified with the ego. So that's on the emotional level, just one of the things that can happen. Physically, there can be a whole range of quite unusual and quite extreme symptoms. Often, you know, if we go to the doctors, they can't actually find any physical explanation, but there can be, you know, for listeners who are familiar with the idea of kundalini energy rising, there can be things like burning heat, sensations of shaking, of vibration in the body. Something that happened for me, actually, in 2003 when I was in crisis, and this was very much on a physical level, was that I ended up in a wheelchair for a few days. You know, my legs gave way and I couldn't walk, but there was nothing physically wrong with me. It was a question of what I was going through was so overwhelming, emotionally and spiritually, that on some level my body had gone into shock. So those are just a couple of things, maybe more where mental health professionals can get a bit confused, where they can kind of end up, if you like, committing us to a psychiatric hospital. And actually this happened, you know, when I was first in crisis, when I was 20, I did end up in hospital. I ended up in an acute psychiatric ward for a month. Some of the things that can happen can be, for example, ideas of kind of, we can call it ego inflation. Mental health professionals would call it delusions of grandeur. And I'd like to maybe talk later a bit more about this, because it's something that so many people, you know, struggle with. And, you know, there are some very clear explanations of what's happening. If we draw on transpersonal psychology, which can help us to understand these experiences. And again, you know, that's something that we can get into more. So anyway, I just wanted to mention, you know, a little bit of some of the things that can happen. And certainly, you know, I was in, as I mentioned, I was in crisis when I was 20 and ended up in psychiatric hospital. And then again in 2003 and 2006, I was in crisis. But those times I didn't end up in hospital. And that really has enabled me to see what a huge difference it makes when our experience is either pathologized and we're told that we're ill, there's something wrong with us, which happened in the first, you know, when I was 20, or when our experience is validated and supported, which is my more recent experience, and just what a huge difference that makes. So that I, you know, I came through more recently with a feeling of blessing, and a feeling of wholeness, of being able to live my life on a much deeper, richer level. Whereas, you know, when I was 20, I was so, ending up in hospital was far more traumatic than what I was going through on an inner level. Yeah.
Now, what I so will say, I wanted to say something about how the book, just a one word to people, that some of the things we're going to talk about today may be a little uncomfortable, but even for me, as I was reading this book, you may encounter things that are far more dramatic, and there's this tendency to say, wow, that can happen, or that can happen sometimes when you're reading about these things. And if, you know, some of this makes you feel uncomfortable or even fearful, make sure to give it some space. In fact, I thought maybe we should mention that right at the outset, that there are some very dramatic things that people can go through. Thankfully, not all experiences necessarily go down that path, because it can, you know, go very badly even. And I think it's so important, and this has been a challenge for me, approaching this topic as free from fear as we can, while still respecting our own boundaries, our own consciousness of, you know, this is really uncomfortable, you know, reading about this particular experience. So could you speak to that for a second, Catherine, as we, at the outset, I felt that we probably should speak to that.
Sure, sure. And, you know, I really stress that at the very beginning of the book, I encourage people to get support, you know, to identify people that they can talk with, that they trust and feel safe with, to talk through this, and to just put the book down and come back to it at a later time if it does feel distressing. But, you know, I felt it was really important in the book to not skate over the dangers, because
Right. Really
my message, you know, really my message is, that there are some very real dangers. You know, people can die going through spiritual emergency. Thankfully, that's very, very rare, but
Yes. It
does happen. And yet, you know, this is such a huge opportunity for healing and growth and for really fulfilling our spiritual potential. So it's important, I think, to be aware of the dangers. And then, if you like, this is why I wrote the book, to help people navigate through those and
Right. Be
able to turn the experience into the huge opportunity that it can be.
And, you know, I have to say that I can personally attest, and I also coincidentally or synchronistically had an experience in 2003. I mean, that's when I had a dramatic spiritual emergence, which this is one of the reasons this show, I'm finally rather courageously exploring this whole idea of mystical experience. In fact, this show today is one of a series of shows exploring the nature of mystical experience. And, you know, the more that I have reflected on this, mystical experience, even very powerful experience, is actually very much with us in the United States. Something I've mentioned on this show before is in my own family, although I personally was not directly exposed to it, is this history of charismatic Christianity, for example. My grandfather was an Assemblies of God minister. And there are a lot of these churches in the United States, especially in the Midwest, where people are having extremely powerful mystical experiences, visions, physical effects, even collapsing to the ground. Part of my own experience was the mystical experience was so very powerful, at one point I did collapse. And, you know, if you look at it through different perspectives, in the evangelical community, they called that being slain in the spirit, where something is so powerful in a visionary sense that you collapse. Now, I often wonder, how do some people manage to integrate this? And ultimately, that was my path. It just took a while to figure out how to integrate a healthy level of spiritual mysticism into an everyday life. And yet, you know, this is all around us, and I really want to emphasize that coming into this show, that I think some of us who've been through this think that we're unusual, and the irony of it is it really is all around us. And the thing that is so important is to find our grounding, to find that place of functioning in the world in the midst of spiritual experience, so not abandoning your spiritual side completely, but finding a way to integrate it into your life. And that's what you provide, Catherine, through some of your work and your research and the networks that you work through.
Yeah, and in fact, actually, you know, that whole period of integration is one, you know, I've identified three key phases for moving successfully through these experiences, and the first is literally just coping with the crisis and you know, getting through the worst of it. That's obviously our most pressing need. But the second key phase is the phase that's very much about integrating it, making sense of it all, and really yeah, coming to a place where, because so many questions, it raises so many questions for us. You know, what on earth was that all about? Why did it happen to me? How do I live my life now? You know, these are the kinds of questions. And that's the second key phase that I've identified that we need to work with. And then the third key phase is going back out into the world, is actually living our life from that place of hopefully having integrated these experiences. And it's an ongoing process. You know, it's not as if this is a completely linear process and then it's done. You know, we can come full circle and I'm still working on integrating now.
And I think it's something that we probably will work on our entire lives. And you know, truly, I view my own mystical experiences, some of which I wouldn't be here. I can say that right now. There is no way I would be speaking on this Blog Talk Radio program or doing any of the other number of other things that I'm doing in the spiritual community if not for my own dramatic spiritual emergence, even though at the time it caught me by surprise. And I think that maybe that would be helpful as well. For me, there was a trigger. For me, there was several months before my own dramatic emergence, I had a very frightening health issue come up that for a while, it was very brief, thankfully, but it was, you know, the proverbial test that comes back with a scary result, only this result was actually pretty scary. And so I pursued it just for a short time, and actually it ended up being okay, but it didn't matter. It brought me face to face with my own mortality. And in my case, I had run from spirituality because I was brought up in a system of spiritual thought that I could not reconcile, that I just couldn't embrace, where, you know, you were going to go to hell if you didn't believe a certain way. And so I had to come face to face with that through this event, and that then led me to ask to be shown the way, and very sincerely. And what happened then was I encountered a number of people who helped to show me the way. Of course, I learned eventually that there's not just one way, but through those spiritual exercises, so to speak, I was experimenting with new things, even just meditation that I'd never done before. And for me, it just so happened I happened to respond very powerfully to those things. And I think that for some people, and probably more and more people, and maybe you can speak to this, Catherine, there's a trigger, and then for some of us, we simply respond very powerfully to things that perhaps for other people, for some other people anyway, they're able to integrate it more readily, whereas for some of us, we just seem to jump into a more visionary, mystical state quite readily. Could you speak to that? And are more and more of us now doing this? Is that part of the awakening where more of us are encountering these mystical events?
Yeah, well, there's several points there, Susan, that I'd like to sort of touch on. One, you know, I do feel that some of us are more kind of, if you like, I'm struggling here to find the language, maybe we're more ready, but certainly some of us are more sensitive energetically, so we might have more of a tendency to move into these experiences. But also, you know, some of us are carrying a wounding or trauma, and that can also make us more susceptible as well. You know, for myself, my father was an alcoholic, so there was some quite major kind of wounding that needed healing. And I see, you know, I see these calls to spiritual emergency. I see them very much as the psyche and the soul really wanting and needing to heal. And that's why we can end up going through these experiences. And you were mentioning about the triggers. You know, something like a health scare like you had, which was obviously a serious health scare, that that kind of stress can trigger this sort of experience. But actually, virtually anything can trigger it. You know, it could be a loss. I mean, in that case, it was you were facing potentially the loss of your own life, maybe. But and that was the fear. But it could be loss of a job or loss of a partner, of a marriage. It could be physically an accident, like a car accident. It could actually be childbirth. Stanislav Grof, who I mentioned earlier, his wife Christina, she went into spiritual emergency giving birth. So really, you know, all manner of experiences can trigger this. What maybe is more to the point is our individual readiness. It's like, you know, if the soul needs to really move to that next level, then it will find a way of doing it. It's almost, and especially maybe, you know, especially if we've been denying our spiritual life a little bit, you know, if we've kind of not really been engaging with the spiritual path, then we might get kind of like a bolt out of the blue that will wake us up. And I think, you know, this is why we're seeing, I think, you know, more and more now, and especially young people I'm noticing more as well, as we move towards, you know, this winter solstice 2012 and beyond, you know, more and more people are kind of being called to wake up. And you know, in the book I talk about this process of spiritual emergence and emergency of waking up at the individual level, at the personal level, and it relates very much to what's happening globally. So we've got the micro level at the individual level, and then we've got the macro, and they're kind of one and the same. They reflect each other. So it's no wonder that, you know, more and more people are going through this as we are globally waking up. We are actually in a period of global spiritual emergency. And, you know, that's also partly where my work is taking me now, is really to help people to see that this is an opportunity, that actually if we can move through these hugely challenging times, then we can move to a whole new level of consciousness, a whole new level of awakening. And you know, it's interesting for me, you know, in terms of where I'm being called, because I'm being called back to Italy. I talk about Italy in the book. I've obviously got a connection with Italy, and now I'm being called back to Italy with a whole new project to set up a center for well-being and conscious evolution. And actually, you know, if anybody feels drawn to Italy or to, you know, to this kind of work, then we're looking for people who want to get involved.
It sounds wonderful.
But yeah, I mean, you know, we all get drawn to fulfill our soul's calling. And this, you know, this I think is a key point of moving, you know, when we come through spiritual emergency, often we touch into our soul's purpose, what it was that we came to do. And that maybe that's the most significant thing that can come out of these experiences, is that we can get much more on track with what we've come to do. And I find that, you know, very exciting, that we can really fulfill our calling.
Yes, and, you know, in my own experience, that has certainly been the case, although it wasn't immediate. I mean, I think that early on, many years ago, when this occurred, my own process and those around me as well was more trying to figure out what the heck has happened here. You know, that you try to approach it in conventional ways, and yet at the time I knew this was a spiritual situation from the very beginning. I knew it because I was the one experiencing it, and I knew. And it really is very important. I know you mentioned this, and I can't overemphasize how important it is to find the right assistance. There are some forms of assistance that will not be helpful to you. You know, I should have brought the statistic with me, but I saw some time ago, and this may have been only in the U.S., that a significantly large number, for example, of psychiatrists are atheists. Complete atheists. If that's the case, they are not going to be able to recognize legitimate spiritual phenomenon. And so you need to find, I mean, it's fine to work within whatever system you feel comfortable working within, even if it's traditional, but make sure that you find the help that is truly nurturing you and not just masking what is truly going on. And you know, I find myself some days, I think, Catherine, I'll become perhaps a little more activistic even in this area, because I feel that people are channeled into very unhealthy outcomes. And I have actually, I knew someone who was in a spiritual emergency, which I now recognize as such. At the time, maybe I didn't. And that person actually died. I'm not exactly sure what occurred. You know, family members tried to intervene in a certain way that turned out not being helpful. You know, I felt that maybe this person was being led into an area where it wouldn't necessarily be a helpful intervention. And then I was really shocked when a bunch of us heard. And I guess I don't want to draw too many conclusions, but this can be really a dangerous thing. And how you respond to it can be dangerous, too, that there are environments out there that are not exactly safe. And do you necessarily want your loved one in that environment getting assistance? And are there other ways to approach this kind of event when it is spiritual in nature?
Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, Susan, a large part of my work really is to help raise, well, and it's not just my work, it's, you know, it's the UK Spiritual Crisis Network and the other spiritual emergency networks that there are in America and Canada and Australia and in Europe. You know, there are so many of us that are working to raise awareness within mainstream mental health, because so much damage can be done. You know, just even just within the last month or two, I heard of somebody who was going through a spiritual crisis, ended up in a psychiatric hospital. This person had been having, you know, a powerful spiritual experiences. And what happened in the hospital was that the mental health staff kind of dismissed the spiritual experiences, the value, you know, saying that the spiritual experiences had no value. And this person then very shortly afterwards attempted suicide and very nearly succeeded. So, you know, this is the tragedy of it. And this is why it's so important to raise awareness and understanding within the mental health, the mainstream. And in fact, what I did with the book, because I really wanted it to be accessible, I really wanted it to be a support to people and to their families and friends, but I also wanted it to be something that that mental health professionals, whether that's well, there's a whole range of mental health professionals, from nurses to psychologists, psychiatrists, you know, there's a whole range. And I really wanted them to take the book seriously. And so what I did was I drew on transpersonal psychology, because there's a whole body of research. There's a huge school of psychology which is evidence-based. Because transpersonal psychology is essentially, transpersonal means that which goes beyond the personal. So it's kind of spiritual psychology. But, it draws on ancient spiritual wisdom and brings that together with modern scientific research. And this was what Groff was doing and what others have done, like John Weir Perry in America, a psychiatrist, and, you know, and various others. So you know, it's kind of establishing that actually, you know, this is a credible, you know, there is the research and the basis of this. You know, like, for example, near-death experiences. You know, that's an area now that so much research has been done on near-death experiences. That, you know, it simply can't be discounted anymore. And that links in very much with spiritual emergency, because people who go through near-death experience who don't have beforehand, previously, don't have a spiritual outlook on life, it can just turn their world upside down and actually trigger a spiritual emergency. So you know, that's just touching into. I just wanted to mention the transpersonal psychology and how we can use that within the mainstream. And, you know, I have recommended to people, if they've got a meeting, an appointment with a psychiatrist, I've recommended that they download. In the UK, we have the Royal College of Psychiatrists, and
yes,
they have a special interest group on spirituality. And there are some papers and documents that you can download from there, which come very much from this perspective. But yes, unfortunately, as you say, many psychiatrists are atheists. There's research that has shown quite a mismatch between the level of, if you like, awareness and understanding of the transcendent within the population at large, and then
yes,
comparing that with mainstream mental health staff, and there's a big discrepancy between the two.
You know, I've often pondered that just as maybe traditional physicists are terrified by quantum physics and what it implies, perhaps there are many in the mental health establishment who are actually quite perplexed and even in a way frightened secretly by what they're seeing within mystical situations. And there's a certain denial that goes on that this is even occurring. And the sad thing is that I feel like really the hope for humanity, in a sense, is to go down a spiritual path. I mean, I truly am committed to that and believe that is a path in life that is really going to transform the world if more and more of us go down that path. And these powerful experiences, if they can be kept within bounds, if we can learn how to manage these things, and those of us who have successfully gone through this and have learned ways, I mean, it is a process to learn how to integrate higher spiritual experience in your life. I'm still figuring it out. I mean, in my case, I had to back away. I mean, if you're a responsible person like I am, and you have to, in a way, you have to put boundaries on the experience. We're not like living in the Native American culture where we could go sit in a tent with the shaman for the next month. And, you know, honestly, that's what they used to do. And maybe someday our culture will evolve to the point where we nurture those people because of the tremendous gifts that come through this mystical awareness. You know, the ancient Mayans, the Greeks, I mean, Eleusinian mystery schools, for example, there were people who used to encourage mystical experience in order to access higher states of consciousness. And that's a whole nother area. But I think that the key to this is beginning to value the gifts of the states of higher consciousness, that there are gifts to be given by those things. Now, I do want to encourage people. I noticed someone popped on the line and then popped off who called in, and I wasn't able to pick up the call in time. So I want to encourage callers. We will be taking calls soon. I had a feeling that this conversation would go by fast, and we've got to be mindful of that because we're already at 40 minutes past the hour. And in a few minutes, we're even going to take a short break. But I do want to encourage callers to hold on the line if you can. The call-in number is 310-807-5104, and you will be picked up shortly. We are going to be going to callers if anyone is able to come back into the line. Right now, we don't have any callers on the line, but we did have someone, and I didn't want to lose them. So in any case, please do, if you have a question for Catherine, do not hesitate to call 310-807-5104. And with that said, I know we had planned on taking a little break at about 11:45, but, you know, we could take it a little bit early if you like, Catherine. It seems to be a natural breaking point people to call in. And so I thought, with such a powerful topic as this, and I do want to start recognizing more and more, those of you listening live, sometimes we need a little break. It's not like Blog Talk Radio is a different environment. We don't have commercial breaks and things. But I think in the course of conversations like these, sometimes we need to take a little break, breathe for a few minutes. And, oh, wonderful, the caller is back on the line. So I ask that caller to stay through the break, and then we will pick up your call right afterwards. So why don't we take
Fantastic.
Just a quick break here. I'm going to play just a little music. The music I'm going to play is a song from Bill Foss, who happened to be at the conference that both Catherine and I met at. He is a enlightened musician, and the song is called Help from Above. So why don't we just take a short break and enjoy this. Welcome back to the Frontier Beyond Fear. My guest today is Catherine G. Lucas, who is the author of In Case of Spiritual Emergency. And we do have some callers on the line for the second part of the show, and so we will be taking callers. And in fact, the first person I'm going to welcome back is Catherine. So, Catherine, we are back after the break, and we do have a couple of callers on the line.
Great. Good.
So I think we will just go ahead. And the way calls work on here, since this is a Blog Talk Radio show and very spontaneous, although I must say it's growing in its reach, and I am so gratified by that, that people are really being assisted by this show, and it's really a co-creation of all of us. That's what I feel. But the way I pick up calls, just so the callers are not surprised, is I'm going to give your area code, and then you'll know that I'm going to bring you on to the show. So the first caller that I'm going to bring into the show is at area code 413. So if you're at that area code, be prepared. I'm about to bring you on to the show so you can talk with Catherine. And I'm Susan Larrison-Danz, your host. Hello. At area code 413, you're on the Frontier Beyond Fear.
Well, hi there. This is Tim calling in.
Well, welcome, Tim.
Thanks. I wanted to say thank you, Susan, for doing this topic. I really think it's a very important topic, and thanks also for having Catherine Lucas on the show, because she's doing really important work in this area. And I guess my question is really getting back to the idea of grounding through such experiences. And I wondered if Catherine thinks that sometimes the seeds of grounding, or the clues for our grounding during a spiritual emergency, are present within the phenomenon as things are going on. Because for me, a large part of my experience had to do with animal spirit guides, and it was a very beautiful experience. And I found that somehow being in nature was part of the grounding, and I was kind of being led that way through the experience itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Tim, hi. It's good to hear from you. But the question of grounding, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you know, I suspect that actually if we can kind of really go with the flow and really kind of just be with the experience as it's unfolding, as you were able to, you were kind of drawn to nature, which was grounding and helping the energy to kind of come through you and kind of... hopefully everybody's familiar with this idea of grounding the energy. You know, what I'm remembering is that there was one point when I remember actually kind of slapping my legs. And, you know, there's a lovely Qigong exercise where you actually do this, but you do it quite gently. You kind of tap your body, and in a sense that's helping us to connect with our bodies, which is also grounding. And I just spontaneously found myself, and actually it was quite, you know, it's quite hard. I obviously needed something more than just slight gentle tapping. But I guess we can intuitively be led to activities that are grounding. At the same time, I think the more awareness we have of what is grounding, like what kind of foods are grounding, what kind of activities are grounding, then I think that can help. You know, it can only help. But that's a great point that just instinctively, intuitively, we're going to want to ground that energy.
Thank you. I guess I just wanted to also comment. I liked the idea that many psychiatrists are atheists, and they're reluctant to acknowledge the more divine realms that can certainly affect all of us. But I also think that they're reluctant to admit to other paths of healing. They're kind of reluctant to admit that there are yoga practices and Reiki practices that are highly grounding, but they're somehow reluctant to admit that these ancient ways of healing are important to us. But I'll let you go now. Thank you very much for the show.
Well, can I just respond to that briefly, Tim?
Yeah,
that
sure.
Actually, I think mental health professionals as a whole don't understand and are not familiar with the concept of grounding. So some psychiatric units might maybe have a gym, or they might, you know, sometimes there might be the odd yoga class, but because they know that those things are good, not because they understand the concept of grounding. It's almost a kind of incidental and by accident. And certainly we need to raise awareness and understanding of the concept of grounding as well. Thank you very much.
Yes,
oh, yes,
thank you,
Tim. Thank you, Tim, for calling in. Take care. You know, as I'm listening and thinking about this subject, you know, I feel like if there are people listening out there who feel called to the counseling profession or to the psychological profession, you know, a lot of people have been assisted by psychologists who have a certain approach. And I feel like, you know, maybe part of the healing of this entire domain is for those who are called to work in this domain to work in it, that we need more people who have an awareness of a spiritual life, which, you know, I wish I had the statistic. Maybe I can find it offline even by the end of the show. It came out some time ago, but it was disturbing. It really was. That if you're in utter denial of spiritual phenomenon, and a lot of times when someone's an atheist, they can even be hostile to spiritual phenomena. I think, and you don't have to be working in that profession, it's threatening. It's something that we don't understand. And so you try to find an explanation for it that's conventional. I think that's what happens. It's a natural inclination for them to do that. However, that doesn't mean that they have a full understanding of what's actually going on. And the true message is in the success stories. That's what we need to have more and more, are the people who have successfully gone through powerful events and, you know, that perhaps were misunderstood and went on to lead not only functional lives but thrived in their lives, lives of purpose and, you know, truly making a difference. So what could you say to that, Catherine?
Well, actually, there are several people whose stories I tell in the book who are good examples of that.
Yes,
have
and
really
you're one.
Come through it. Well, but some, you know, there are figures throughout history and also in more contemporary times as well who've really been able to move through it. I'm thinking of Amma. I know a lot of listeners will be familiar with Amma, the Indian woman who travels around the world hugging, offering darshan.
Yes.
And, you know, there was a time when she was just abandoned as insane by her family.
Wow.
And kind of left to kind of sleep outside in the courtyard and live really quite a wild existence for a period, which actually, it turns out, was the period of her deepest spiritual transformation. And now, you know, she's this kind of realized being. And yet, you know, to all intents and purposes, there was a period where she couldn't even look after herself, wash or feed herself. So yes. There are examples of people out there, and it seems almost like the more extreme the spiritual emergency, the greater the potential, you know, if we're able to move through it and engage with it. And Carl Jung is another fantastic example. You know, we only really found out the full extent of what he went through just recently. Recently, when his red book, his famous red book, was published in 2009, and you know, he understood this whole symbolic, archetypal, mythic realm because he went through it. And you know, this is the point, I think, also coming back to the mainstream mental health. I think we move into a territory that is beyond the left brain, that's beyond the rational mind, and that's something that the mainstream struggles with and actually is fearful of. And you were talking, I just wanted to pick up actually, Susan, on something you mentioned earlier about making sure you get the right kind of support. Of course, there can be a lot of people around us who are fearful, including our own family, who actually sometimes they can be the ones who want us committed to a hospital because they're fearful. And this is where those of us that have been through it have so much to offer to help others, because we don't have that fear. We know that it's possible to move through and to come out the other end, and that these experiences are okay. And so, you know, we've integrated an element like the trust, if you like, which the mainstream mental health staff don't have. And so much is based on medication. You know, so much of the whole story around medication is based on fear and control, unfortunately. But I do want to stress also that there's a lot in mainstream mental health that is good and that does work. I don't want to be too critical and too negative. You know,
No, I understand.
I take, Yeah, I take the view that actually we really need to work with them,
yes,
not against them, in terms of kind of really creating a changing the paradigm.
Yeah,
you know, it's together that we can do that.
That's one thing I really like about your work. And, you know, although sometimes I think that there are abuses in that domain, and you can't help but react to things that you've witnessed. And I have seen multiple situations it seems to be common, but at the same time, yes, I think that's why I so encourage people. I would hope more people would go into that line of work who have a balanced view of the world, who carry, you know, knowing that there are multiple ways of healing. I really feel, too, that just because of the way things have been steered in that profession, that the art of counseling has been lost. And I certainly have experienced counseling within my journey. And, you know, some of it was helpful, some of it was not helpful. And the counseling that is the most helpful is someone who is coming from a place of balance. And that person could be very well in a traditional role, and yet their own balance is the key, where they're not going to steer you down the most drastic, harmful path, something that may actually be quite harmful for a person long term. So you need to, but I do appreciate, and I think it's important that, you know, what we need to do is instill change within the structures that we have, and understanding that there's more to this than meets the eye, and that, you know, science is always about shifting paradigms, and a paradigm, I believe, is shifting in that domain as well. So we do have another caller on the line who's been waiting a while, so I thought that we would go ahead and bring them on if you're prepared for that. I do want to remind people that, again, the call-in number for today's show is 310-807-5104. We do have a number of people in the chat room. I'm really happy to see you there. If you have any questions or comments, and if you want to speak to either dramatic experiences, some people have been through dark nights of the soul, which is another area that I know people may have questions about, or want to relate your personal experience. So I welcome that either in the chat or call 310-807-5104. So I'm about to bring another caller on the line. This particular person is at a blocked number, so I can't give the area code. So we'll hope that we can bring them on seamlessly. Hello, if you're waiting on
Hello.
The line. Yes, welcome.
Yeah. Hi, this is Khadija speaking.
Uh-huh.
I have a question for Catherine Lucas.
Yes, please do. Catherine's on the line here.
Okay, hello, Catherine. This is Khadija.
Hi.
And hi. I have a question about, it's a personal question in the sense that it has to do with my situation. I was in a spiritual emergency recently. Actually, it started 20 years ago, but I have been on medication for more than 15 years. And I quit the medication last year, so I got the crisis turned up again. And I was in the hospital recently. And I had this psychiatrist, they gave me a depo, I don't know the right word in English, that you get injected antipsychotics.
Depo, the kind of lasts a certain amount of time.
Yeah, mostly 2 weeks or a month. And I knew I didn't, it was not a solution, you know, but I had no choice because otherwise I would definitely be locked up for another 3 weeks, something like that. So that was not an option for me, so I agreed. And I thought, well, who knows? I was kind of stressed out because I was going to start a job then as an expert by experience in mental health. And so I was quite stressed that I, got hospitalized. Anyway, let me see. Now the medicine is out of my body now, and I didn't take it again. And this person, the psychiatrist, he doesn't believe, or he says simply, it is not true that people cure from. And now I'm going into psychiatrist thing. People cure from schizophrenia. He said it's not true that people cure, and I know from the internet and from friends that they can cure. Or maybe it's maybe wrongly put. Let me see. Anyway, I don't think it's, my question is, I don't think it's a solution, the medication, the antipsychotics. And my question is, I have an appointment next week with the psychiatrist, and I want to know how to deal with him. Do you understand?
Sure. So, Khatija, first of all, I'm sorry to hear, you know, what you've been through recently. It sounds very traumatic, and I know that, you know, when we're going through these kind of experiences, to be kind of pathologized and told that we're ill is just very damaging, and you know, I really want to kind of honor your courage really in being with all of this. And I know also that because we've met, and I know that you're in Holland, and that there are some psychiatrists in Holland that are members of the Society for Transpersonal Psychiatry, and So I wonder whether, in some respects, you know, well, I think it would probably, if you can, I think it would be better to see a psychiatrist who is coming from a spiritual perspective. Transpersonal is the word that's being used, you know, as to say spiritual. But in the meantime, in terms of that appointment, you know, I think one of the things is to take an ally with you to the appointment, you know, so that you have support in the appointment. That's something that can be very helpful. Now there you can choose quite carefully who you take, because it's one thing just kind of taking a friend, but also, you know, maybe there's another, you know, I don't know quite how this would work, but maybe there's somebody else who's more of a professional, who understands, has a bit of a better perspective, a better understanding of what you've been through.
At the same time,
I would encourage you to get in touch with the Society of Transpersonal Psychiatry in the Netherlands, because I know they have that organization. And I think also you met somebody, you know, you and I met at the Consciousness in Crisis conference in Holland recently. And I think you met somebody there also who could be a good contact for you. Unfortunately, for somebody who has the opinion that schizophrenia is for life and that's it, you can't cure, somebody who has that opinion, you're not going to be able to change that opinion. They've been trained in that approach. It's their whole professional kind of life depends on that kind of understanding. And in a sense, it's a question of language. You know, how do you define schizophrenia? How, you know, and spiritual experiences and spiritual emergency? It's, in a sense, we're using different language. What we're calling spiritual emergency, you know, maybe they're calling schizophrenia. But I think, you know, let's not accept where these people are in a position of power. Accept necessarily their verdict, you know, that you're stuck with that label for the rest of your life. And what I'm hearing is that you don't accept that. And I'm pleased because I hear, you know, I talk to people, and I'd like to just mention bipolar, because a lot of people end up with a label of bipolar when they're going through these experiences.
Yeah.
And again, you know, sometimes sometimes somebody will say to me, oh, I'm bipolar. And it's like they've accepted that label and they've accepted that they're like that for the rest of their lives. And so I'm really pleased that you don't do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need support. You need to get the right support. This is something that Susan mentioned earlier. So on the one hand, think about taking somebody to that appointment with you who can be the best, you know, the best, most appropriate, and also look for a different psychiatrist. If you have a choice of psychiatrists, then find somebody who has a more spiritual approach. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Catherine.
And, you're welcome.
The host. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Susan.
Thank
okay,
you.
Bye, Khadija. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
You know, Catherine, you raise a very interesting idea there of bringing someone with you who is your advocate. And it is true that it's important to pick that person carefully because sometimes family members who are very well-meaning can be very easily swayed into a particular way of thinking that may not necessarily be helpful. And I think that the saddest aspect of these events can be it can even cause rifts in families. It can cause some real difficulties if, you know, people are being pressured into something that is not the appropriate approach. And, you know, I think too little is said. You can't take lightly that, you know, if someone is pressuring you into a life of medication, for example, and if there may be an alternative that's worth pursuing, that there are side effects to those things. Now, I'm not saying that, and they're not just minor side effects either. They're very major side effects. And so you need to take it seriously if this is going to be a long-term venture for you to make sure to get all the opinions you can. You know, we talk so much about second opinions when it comes to cancer or to different types of illnesses. Why not for this kind of illness? Because if you're going to spend your entire life treating something that perhaps has some alternative approaches, and in saying this, and I need to be very careful here and say, we cannot speak to any particular situation, especially when it comes to physical illness of any kind or mental illness. You know, you have to pursue a professional, but you need to find balance. You know, I think we recommend being as mindful as you can in terms of what kind of assistance that you seek. If you were going to a regular doctor who was not helpful, who, you know, it wasn't working out well, you might look for other alternatives to see, you know, get another opinion. And there are counselors out there. There are psychologists as well. There are people who can work with you and really see you day to day and get to know you better to figure out more what's going on. I think probably a very common thing that they might say, oh, this is atypical. I've heard that before when they can't define it. Have you ever heard that, Catherine, this notion of something being atypical because they don't fully understand it?
Yeah, and the other term that they use, I'm trying to remember what it is now actually, is you know, that kind of suggests that it's kind of like a one-off, you know, rather than seeing it as long-term. But just to come back to this question of medication, you know, one of the people who's done a lot of work in this area is a guy called David Lukoff, Dr. Lukoff, that's Lukoff. And, you know, for medication, he recommends kind of evaluating whether medication is needed, but with a view to keeping it to a minimum. And, you know, also, you know, because we're so sensitive, those of us that are susceptible to these kinds of experiences, we have a heightened sensitivity. So you can actually respond to almost like homeopathic levels of medication where somebody else might, you know, might not. And so that's also something to bear in mind as well, you know, that it can be very effective in very low doses when we're this, you know, when we're so open and in the midst of this kind of experience. And I want to stress, you know, that medication does have its place, does have a role. You know, And like you say, there's a lot to weigh up because of the side effects and all of that.
Well, and you know, I say that with the knowledge of knowing that many medications have side effects. You know, this is true. And I think that if I were told to be on any medication, you know, there are people who are told to go on chemotherapy and they take that really seriously. You know, they really evaluate, you know, it's a heart-wrenching decision whether to pursue different approaches, you know, with that.
Mm.
And I have known people who have refused it and actually survived. I actually know someone who chose not to go on chemotherapy and actually survived for many years after that. Now, there have been people who have chosen not to go on chemotherapy and they died. So it is not an easy decision. I think that's the key. And it's one that I wish that family members would be very mindful of all the pros and the cons as well, you know, when making this decision and doing the research, just as you would with anything, do the research. And something I appreciate about your approach, Catherine, is it's very balanced. You don't deny that some of these things have a role. And again, we can't give a recommendation in any particular case. I try to make that very clear on a show of this nature. We have to be careful. We're not dispensing health advice. But what we're saying is, you know, do your homework. I mean, that is advice I would recommend in case of anything, any diagnosis. And sometimes doctors, you know, there have been people who've been told you only have 6 weeks to live, and they ended up living much longer. You know, there's this notion of internalizing something that you're told, and maybe you need to research that some more. Maybe there, you know, don't give up. I guess don't give up. You know, do your research and get assistance from those around you.
And yeah, and I just wanted to pick up on a couple of things there, Susan. One is, you know, in terms of internalizing what we're told, you know, that's one of the ways in which it can be so damaging.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I mentioned when I was talking with Khatija just now that, you know, sometimes people, you know, they might be given for example, a bipolar label. And kind of they internalize that, they accept it because they haven't heard of spiritual emergency or they haven't investigated what are, you know, other possibilities. And I'd like to mention one particular resource here because there are some fantastic videos that have been done on YouTube. And again, mm-hmm. these are done in kind of a balanced way. So I'm hoping that listeners have got pen and paper handy. So on YouTube, you can find these under bipolar or waking up. So bipolar or waking up. And there are some really good, you know, some excellent videos there that kind of show, you know, the different perspective, you know, the kind of the perspective, the spiritual emergency perspective, the mystical experience perspective, and
yeah.
and how actually these are experiences of waking up that can be labeled. Another resource I'd like to mention actually is for people who are struggling, you know, if there are any listeners who have been struggling either themselves or people they know with issues around addiction and wanting to kind of come at that from this perspective of a spiritual process and a spiritual emergency, then there's the Alliance for New Earth Addiction Recovery. That's
uh-huh.
the Alliance for New Earth Addiction Recovery, and that's an online community. So they're also doing some excellent work, really coming at the whole issue of addiction from this perspective of spiritual emergency. So, you know, there are some really good resources out there. You know, but part of the challenge with these experiences is getting the information. And you were saying about that, Susan, about doing the research. And at the back of my book, In Case of Spiritual Emergency, there's a whole section on resources and different websites and more reading, you know, other books and things. And it really is, sometimes it is a question of being a bit of a kind of Sherlock Holmes and really kind of investigating and research and
yes.
finding exactly what we need, because we tend to need different things at different times. So, you know, just recently somebody I've been supporting you know, the latest stage for them was to get support for their adrenals because their adrenals were exhausted. And that was just, you know, one aspect of where they're at right now in this whole process of spiritual emergence and emergency. So we need different things at different times, and we need to find the right, you know, the right help, the right support. That might be to do with spirit release. You know, if there's an issue around a spirit attachment, it might be to do with finding maybe even a past life, somebody who can help us work through some past life trauma. All of these things can come up in spiritual emergency. Anything that needs healing will come to the surface, and that's what can be so overwhelming, because it all comes to the surface at once, like a volcano erupting. So that's. I'm just wondering if there's anything else in terms of resources that I wanted to mention. We should also mention the American Spiritual Emergence Network. Although it seems that you've also got some international listeners today as well. The American Spiritual Emergence Network is basically it's spiritualemergence.info. So that's spiritualemergence.info. And that's, you know, that's the Spiritual Emergency Network in the States that was originally set up by Christina Groff, Stanislav Groff's wife, set up some 25 years ago now, I believe, if not more. And of course, there are these networks in other countries. In the UK, there's a new one in the Netherlands. That's the conference that I was at recently was launching the new Dutch network. We have the UK one, which I was instrumental in setting up in 2004 now. So that's been going a few years. And this is the kind of support, these are the places to go to get the kind of information, because it is quite specialist in a sense, you know?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, there were a couple of comments from the chat room while you were speaking.
Mm-hmm.
One person mentioned sound therapy as being helpful. Another person, Reiki, as being helpful. And, you know, as I'm reflecting on this, you know, the interesting thing, when we are in crisis, when we go through a challenging period, and if that does include this powerful spiritual emergence, but also other kinds of crises, we actually, if we don't know it, certainly those around us know it, but typically we do know that we need assistance. I mean, well, I guess I shouldn't say that. I mean, sometimes it's hard to know for sure. You just know that it's not working. You know, whatever you're doing is not working. So if you're on some route, whatever it might be, and it doesn't appear to be nurturing you or helping you to become more of a functional, happy individual, if it is not assisting you, then that's when you really need to look for something more. And I think those of us, and this is certainly my case, how I ultimately emerged from some of my own periods of crisis, even though there were tremendous gifts to this, gifts that are still being given. The fact that I'm even doing this show is because of my spiritual awakening. It just came about very dramatically. And I will say that the reason why it was so tumultuous for me was because when I came in contact with what I can only say is spiritual phenomenon. And for me, coming from a scientific background as well, I even validated some of that for myself. I mean, it wasn't just stuff I was imagining or whatever. They were things that were concrete that you could even point out to someone. And when you come into contact with this, like powerful synchronicities is something, we haven't talked about that right now, but this is, or we haven't talked about that yet. I became frightened by that because of my upbringing, because I was told that could be demonic. And so when I spiraled into fear, then things got really skewed for a while. The longer I was in fear, I had to face those fears. That's why I have a show about fear, because I went through what was almost like a vision quest, facing my fears, including fear of hell, which is why I'll talk about that on this show, because I faced it. And in many ways, you talk about the hero's journey in your book, and I feel like, you know, my own personal quest facing those fears led me to a place of true, a tremendous place where I'm at more peace with my life than I ever have in my entire life, even before I ever had any kind of crisis. And I even had a health scare similar to the original one that kind of triggered all of this, and I went through it with flying colors. I mean, I had no trouble because I had figured out the path, and thankfully it was not serious. It's just yet another scare. You know, we have these in our lives, and how do you deal with them? And I managed to, I approached it in a totally different way because I had this spiritual life now. I had a spiritual anchor. So seek assistance if you feel that you need it. And many of us continue to need it in different ways. We need each other. We need what we can offer each other. And I know I'm going a little long. We only have about 11 minutes left. And I had a feeling when you first came on the show, Catherine, I said, coming to the show for the first time, because I know that this topic is so very rich with material and the way that we can help people that I have a feeling you'll be coming on again at some point. In fact, I invite you to come on again at some point because there's so much to say.
Great, thank you, Susan. In fact, one of the areas that I'm realizing we haven't touched on. Well, there's so much, isn't there? But one thing we haven't talked at all about, which we'll have to save for next time, is mindfulness, and really just how valuable a tool I found that personally, and especially with things like working with the fear, working with the grounding. Mindfulness is a fantastic tool. And I'm really very pleased that now, because I've been teaching mindfulness for a number of years, including within the mainstream, and now I'm actually delivering mindfulness specifically to help people with spiritual emergency, and I'm working with a group of professionals. I've developed a way of being able to deliver this online, because I'm working internationally now, and it's really exciting, to be able to have these sessions. It's a little bit like Skype, but I can also use PowerPoint as a teaching tool as well, and it's just very exciting to be able to deliver mindfulness to people who are already counselors or maybe working as a coach or whatever, and then for them to then feel resourced to be able to help their clients and their patients who are going through this using the mindfulness. And so that's kind of where my work is going, and mm-hmm. people can find details of those online courses on my website at CatherineGLucas.com. So that's, that's a whole new area for me, and it's really very exciting.
Yeah, I really think
and we'll
have to devote a show to that, because that's actually an area I don't know a lot about, and I would be very curious to explore it with you in a show, just to kind of take people along with me on the journey of understanding, what is mindfulness, kind of a mini introductory course to this idea of what is it, and what is an example of the kind of exercise that one does, because I think that can be helpful to many of us. And the more that we awaken and the more we step into and allow ourselves to experience the full range of spiritual experience available to us, I think it becomes even more important to know how to take care of ourselves, through that, and to recognize we are in the world. We can't just go mystical for a month unless we're in a really rare situation.
And in fact, that's the beauty of mindfulness. Is that it is about taking that through our daily lives, in the world. And in fact, actually, for people who want to sample this with me, I'm doing a one-day workshop in the Boston area. I'm coming over in May next year, and very much looking forward to coming back to the States, because, of course, you and I met at the Conscious Life Expo.
Yes, in February.
In LA. So I'm very much looking forward to coming back to the States next year, and actually to do some teaching. I'll be doing workshops and giving lectures and things. And so again, details of that will be up on my website at CatherineGLucas.com.
And I should also mention before, as we come close to the end of the show, that in a couple of weeks I'm going to have on this show on November 9th, Friday. That show will start a little later than usual. It'll start, thinking about this, I believe 1 p.m., that's right, 1 p.m. Pacific. So if you're listening in the U.K., that's 9 p.m., right? Right, Catherine? Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Getting my time
in the U.K.,
right?
It's 9 p.m., yeah.
Yes, and I welcome international audiences to this. Paul Levy will be on the show, and actually I already have a write-up of that on frontierbeyondfear.com, which is the website for this program for those of you looking for future shows. And I am going to be exploring thematically this area of mystical experience. I also had, I encourage you to listen to Robert Forman's show, Dr. Robert Forman, who's one of the top experts in mystical experience within the educational domain. He is a professor who has studied mystical experience. And so there's just a lot that can be explored. And Paul Levy, if I understand, he may be at one of the events you're going to do next year. If I understand that, there's maybe a conference that I don't know if this is all confirmed, so I have to be careful.
No, that's not confirmed yet. That would be in the fall in the New York area, but that's not confirmed yet.
Okay, well, then I err in mentioning it, I suppose. But there, Paul Levy is yet another person doing work in this area, so I wouldn't be at all surprised if at some point Catherine and he show up at a similar event just because they're both working in the same area, and he will be on the show. So,
and in fact, actually, Susan, that's, you know, so many of us are starting to work together. Those of us in this field are really starting to collaborate internationally now, and that's really exciting as well, because together we can do so much more.
Absolutely, and I know there's another individual whose name escapes me who was on Coast to Coast with Paul Levy not too long ago. The two of them were on there talking about this topic as well. So it seems that this concept of visionary experience and, you know, what it means, where it takes us, I mean, there are just so many angles to it, you know, and there is power in this. And I'm not going to encourage this other route. In fact, there are natural ways to get to this point is the thing, is if we can figure out as a society how to access the power a visionary experience as part of our natural lives, we will truly take this entire society higher. Do you know, Catherine, that two Nobel Peace Prize winners made scientific discoveries, and I don't have their names, through higher states of consciousness? Now, these people happened to be in the 60s when they were doing this in artificial ways, and no, I don't recommend that. But it just shows that states of higher consciousness can lead us to tremendous discovery if we can figure out how to do it in a safe, natural way that is simply a part of the human experience, the evolving human experience.
Yeah. Definitely, and we can fulfill our potential as individuals. You know, it opens up a whole new world.
It really
personally
does.
And globally, yeah, at a global level too, yeah.
So I want to thank you as we're coming to a close here, Catherine. I really want to thank you for coming on this show and sharing what I feel is really important work that many are being called to right now. And I feel that you are a way shower in that area. And there is courage in what you're doing because it was triggered through your own experience, which makes it even more meaningful that this research is something that you can personally attest to having gone through some of these things and looked for resources, and you found many of them. And it's an evolving journey, as we say. It's an evolving journey for you and for many of us looking into this. So thank you, Catherine, and thank you for bringing an international flavor to the Frontier Beyond Fear, because I really would like to welcome international audiences to this show, and I thank you for that as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me on the show, Susan. It's been a real pleasure. And, you know, my sense is, I know when we first met, we kind of felt that connection, that we're both doing similar work in terms of wanting to raise awareness, raise understanding, and help people, you know, and help the shift in consciousness, this raising of awareness. So it's great to find a fellow traveler, somebody like-minded, you know, who's doing similar work to make a difference in the world. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. And let me just say to all the listeners out there that as you're going through your day, as you're pondering this, first of all, share this show with those that you think it might assist. And also, lend your assistance as well. If you have a functional spiritual path that's working for you and you know someone who is in crisis, reach out to them and help them to find assistance. And, you know, there are resources out there that you're now aware of, and more will be coming to light. So thank you, Catherine, and thank you, everyone, for being here with us today. The show will be back next week at 11 a.m. Pacific on Friday. I'm bringing Sue Elliott on the show again, and it's going to be a totally different show. Just go to the frontierbeyondfear.com website to talk about that. We're actually going to be discussing the upcoming election and some very honest perspectives on women's rights. So it's going to be kind of a different show. We're changing gears a little bit for next week. So thank you again, everyone, for being here today.